Happy Monday, Bucks fans. Steve Isbitz here of JoeBucksFan.com. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford and Discount Garage Doors. Great watch party coming up on Sunday, benefiting Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. It's an annual event from Bill Curry Ford right at One Buck Place. Tremendous charity watch party. Starts at noon, goes all the way through the game. It's really the best Bucks watch party venue because you're right at One Buck. There's going to be all kinds of exclusive access. It's family friendly. But the best thing is it's all for charity. It includes all your food and drinks and restaurants. And it's just a great, great event and a lot of various opportunities for prizes and things. Really, really cool. You want to go to BillCurryFord.com. It's limited seating, obviously limited for in general because it's at One Buck Place. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you get your tickets. Hurry. We've been sharing it on Twitter and putting it on Facebook. Not a lot of seating left, but it's a great event. You definitely want to get out there. And you also want to get to Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium, on Dale Mabry, serving Tampa for more than 58 years. 58 years and counting, really. And, of course, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty, pre-owned and new vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. Discount Garage Doors. You know what they're all about. You've heard me talk about them. The best prices, hands down, on garage doors. And they're there for you 24-7 for garage door repair. 24-7, call them up. Same day, free service call, free diagnosis. They are on top of everything. This is a local company serving 18 Florida counties. The phone number, 1-866-420-DOOR. 1-866-420-DOOR. There's no catch. There's no hook. Call them up. And schedule them to come out to diagnose your garage door situation. And they will do that. And it's not going to cost you anything. If you need a new door, they got the best selection, the best prices, financing. The website, dgdoors.com. It's very comprehensive. dgdoors.com. Check it out today and get them out there. Stop putting it off. Get that garage door fixed, replaced, whatever you need. Now, this is a difficult day for Bucks fans, difficult day for me. I'm just going to speak for myself, but I've already heard from endless Bucks fans. It's not just a crossroads. That just doesn't do it justice. It's a crisis, disastrous situation that the Bucks find themselves in because not because they're 3-4, not because they lost to the Bengals in a game they could have won, not because they've lost 4 out of 5 in a row, not because the coach isn't necessarily making the best coaching decisions and they're already on their second defensive coordinator and things aren't going right. It's a crisis because your number one overall pick quarterback, America's quarterback, Jameis Winston, your number one overall pick, forget about who he is. He was benched, done, pulled from a game, sat down for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Fitzpatrick goes in and lights it up. What a thrilling finish to that game for the Bucks offense. And it's not just how Fitzpatrick played, it's how everybody played around him. And the results were fantastic, even though they lost. So it looks terrible for Jameis. That's just the reality. And it's a big decision for a coach to bench him. And then Dirk comes back today and says it's Fitzpatrick in Carolina. Fitz. Season on the line. We're going with Fitzpatrick and the GM's on board. And Dirk explained he talked to Jason Light about it. So it's a bad situation, not because I dislike Ryan Fitzpatrick. Guy's been great. He's done everything they asked him to do. And the dude comes in cold and just lights it up and says, let's go, boys. And everybody responds and they are awesome. It's a bad day for the franchise, for Jameis. I wrote the story on Joe Bucks Fan that says it's okay to cry, and it is. It is. For the suffering Bucks fans, the people who have been dealing with no playoff victories and now since 2003 and now no playoffs since 2007, and only the Browns save us from being the Browns ourselves, it's bad. It's bad. Forget the record. Your number one overall pick, you're sort of your regime is declaring him a bust right now. And that's really bad. And they're not wrong in the sense that Jameis played horribly. threw four picks that were all his fault. You know, other guys throw picks, whatever. They're not always they're necessarily 100% on the quarterback. These are on the quarterback. And these picks also, he's not necessarily under pressure on all these throws. It's the guy's fourth year in the offense. This is not supposed to happen. He's healthy. He's 24. He's loaded with weapons. He's got all the confidence in the world from his coach. If he were to just let plays die and, you know, miss a read, but don't turn it over. 10 interceptions, 13 quarters. It's hard to fathom, but that's where Jameis Winston is right now. And Dirk is going with Fitzpatrick, and whatever you think of that move, and I get the move. I get the move on one level. The players believe more in Fitzpatrick, and Dirk's only job here is to win the next game. Now, in the offseason, other parts of the year, in general, his job is to develop players and talent and build a program, and I get that. But when it's October 29th, and you're 3-4, and you're in the middle of the season, as head coach, you're not playing the develop players and the big picture game. Your job is only to focus on the next game. You let the offseason and maybe other times where you're dealing with some big picture stuff. Right now, it's about beating the Panthers, and Cutter thinks that's the best way to go. And it's just no great ending here for the Bucs fans. Are we supposed to believe we can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Fitzpatrick? No. I wouldn't ask anyone to believe that. Do we have the worst quarterback situation in the NFC South? Yeah. It's the worst there is. The worst starting situation there is. And I don't know where Jameis comes out of this. And this is the Bucs, remember. This isn't like some prized franchise. Why would Jameis want to stay here now? Even if he comes in for Fitz after four or five, let's say Fitz plays two games, and Jameis comes in, what is Jameis going to want to stay? DeSean Jackson asked out. Jameis knows half the fans are kicking him out the door. He's aware of the newspapers. He's got an agent. Isn't it realistic to think that Jameis, after this season, no matter what happens, a new coach who might not want him, the same coach who benched him, whatever it is, isn't Jameis going to want to move on if he's a young player thinking ahead for himself and it has an agent who wants, allegedly, what's best for him? I mean, whether you like Jameis or you dislike Jameis, I think you realize that Jameis knows and that this town has let him know that, hey, man, we don't fully trust you 100%. You're not our guy all over town. So maybe Jameis wants to start over. I mean, ownership probably had a hand in this decision to go to Fitzpatrick on Sunday against Carolina. Does Jameis want to commit to ownership that gave up on him in season? It's sticky. And no matter what, I'm not assigning blame or pointing fingers. It's just sticky. And as fans, it's just damn painful. Because this doesn't have a good ending to it unless Fitzpatrick can somehow craft a miracle of miracles, as I see it, to beat the Panthers on the road on Sunday. Back-to-back road games are hard enough. The Panthers are a very balanced team, a powerful team, a seasoned, experienced team. They're well coached. It's a tough, tough spot. But sure, the Bucs can win, absolutely. I'm not saying they can't win, but I'll say it right now. I think the Panthers are going to put a whooping on them, maybe 14, 17 points. I just don't see the Bucs as having that, just having enough to win this game, especially with Fitzpatrick. No, I'm not sold on Fitzmagic, although it's a hell of a lot of fun. It's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. But he is a guy that has been inconsistent in his career. The road is still the road, and yeah, we'll hope for the best. But the decision is just multi-layered. I don't know what the Glazers are thinking. You could look at the angle of, do they even want Jameis on the field anymore? Have they given up on him? If he gets hurt, they owe him $21 million next year. If he doesn't get hurt, it could trade him after the season. There's a lot of ways this thing could go Do I think Jameis gets traded tomorrow by the deadline? No, but it only takes one team to dangle a first and a fourth round pick. And you could say, oh, no one's going to do that. Joe, you're an idiot. Steve, you're a moron. Who's going to do that? It happens all the time. Bad deals happen all the time. The Bucks have been on both ends of that. So, you know, I never thought Gaines Adams, after having a horrible career here and being known for a bad work ethic inside one Buck, would fetch a second round pick. You know, and hey, may he rest in peace. I'm not picking on Gaines Adams, just an example of lousy deals that go down in the NFL. So I don't know. I don't want to overreact. And in some ways, playing Fitzpatrick is a bit of an overreaction, because think about it. A week ago, everybody's looking at Jameis as the franchise guy. Is he going to straighten out and be the guy we hope he can be? A week later, we're benching Jameis based on what Fitzpatrick did in 14 minutes. And a lot of people are burying Jameis's career, which they wouldn't be doing if Fitzpatrick came in and threw one pick and threw a touchdown and played okay, but the Bucs lost. So we're going to sort of judging Jameis's career, for a lot of people, on what Fitzpatrick did in 14 minutes. Doesn't mean it's not telling. They are playing with the same players. But anyway, I'm going to hope for the best because I care about the team. And do I believe in Fitzmagic? Am I going to believe that he could ride this offense, this high-powered offense, to 35 points a game, which is what it'll take for the Bucks to win consistently, maybe 40? I mean, a few weeks ago it was, hey, can they score 30 a game? Now it's 35, 37. Maybe, but I don't think so. I really don't. It's just unrealistic in a lot of ways. Now, DeSean Jackson, did he ask for a trade? Did he march into one Buck, into Jason Light's office, and say, I want out, I want to be traded? Or did he have his agent simply say, hey, man, DeSean wants to move on. You know, he'd like an opportunity to go to a contender. And if that actually happened, does that mean he doesn't like it here, or he just wants to go to a certain few teams? We don't know the truth. And I can't make the leap that DeSean Jackson hates Tampa because he asked to leave. Right? If you're on your job and you want to go to a different place of business and maybe make a little more money, or there's an environment that you think is more up and coming and you want out, does that mean you hate your current job, or you just prefer to go over there? So I can't read in between the lines. Something happened, though. I have to say something happened, because DeSean Jackson, even in training camp, mingling with fans, going out of his way in the indoor facility, really working with the young players here with the Bucks. He had a lot of respect in the receiver room, a lot of respect in the locker room. He's got old friends on this team, got like Vinnie Curry. Clearly has a good relationship with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He seems to be enjoying the Tampa Bay area. He's got all the respect in the world from the coaching staff, the best that I can tell. And he's been productive. Very, very productive this year. And the team was 3-3, and he wants out. So what changed? Not getting the ball from Jameis the way he wants it? Okay, possible. Not returning punts anymore. Where the hell is he? He's the best punt returner on the team, and we're not using him. Is that his choice? Is that Dirk Cutter's choice? I'm going to try to get to the bottom of that this week. Was he annoyed that the Bucs didn't do much for him when he got his 10,000 yards and broke the record? Not broke the record, but hit that mark that only 46 other players have. The Bucs didn't really do too much with that. Was he insulted? I don't know. Is he a diva like that? I don't think so. I got a chance to talk to DeSean Jackson one-on-one a few times. And one time, I was sort of asking him about the diva reputation and some other stuff like that. And he said, maybe that was me six, seven years ago. That's just not me anymore. And I respect that. I was a different guy at 31 than I was at 24. So it's a bit of a mystery, but I think he's professional enough to handle it. And just move on. And now that Fitz is the quarterback, I don't think anyone's going to be thinking about that much anymore, because I don't think he's going to be a malcontent within the locker room. But who knows? Who knows? It's not a good look. And it goes to the Bucs soap opera. There's a lot of bad looks surrounding this team this year. Do the Bucs trade Jackson? I don't think so. Jason Light knows that's not why he brought DeSean Jackson here. And Jackson's having a great year, and he knows that if he comes off as a malcontent, is anyone going to pay him $10 million next year and run that risk if they think that maybe he's a guy who's going to want out? No. He knows he's got to behave. 2 more months, play hard, and there's a good chance somebody will pay him the $10 million due him next season. All right. I don't expect a problem with D-Jax. I really don't, but we'll see how it plays out. Now, a few things I got to get off my chest. One, and I'm going to make them rapid fire. One, Chandler Catanzaro, the kicker, continues to suck. You can't keep missing extra points. It continues to bite the Bucks in the ass. Dirk Cutter won't get rid of the guy. Jason Light isn't getting rid of the guy as of today. And it's inexcusable. It's on both of them. Garbage kicker. Get him out. Stop relying on the guy. Try somebody else. There's got to be some accountability. The guy's missed 4 extra points. 3 in a season is a lot, but acceptable. We're 7 games in. He's missed 4. Get him out. And Cutter continues to rely on the guy instead of going for 2 when he's got all these weapons. I find it hard to believe that the Bucks can't go 50% on 2-point conversions. It's sickening. The Bucks are what, on their 5th kicker now? No, excuse me, 6th kicker in the Jason Light regime. Murray, Brinza, Barth, Aguayo, and they brought Barth back initially. And then we got what, Murray again, Folk, Catanzaro. Jason Light's just flipping coins looking for kickers. It's really just what it looks like. And it's unacceptable. It's been an important part of the damn game. I sincerely hope they draft a kicker next year. And I don't care who the GM is, go out there and hire somebody who knows kickers, hire 2 people, and fix this damn thing. It's really, really annoying. As far as Cutter goes, I'll say this right now, and I take no joy in saying it, but every team needs to figure out if their head coach is the guy who can lead them to a Super Bowl. That's really the only goal here. That's the hiring process. Sure, you want a guy who can develop players, but you're never going to hire a good developmental coach who you don't think can manage a team and get him to a Super Bowl. I mean, you might be some sort of out-of-the-box thinker who says, well, he can develop players and we'll hire this guy to be a coordinator and eventually push him into the top job when this guy fails, but we'll have a developed nucleus. Nobody thinks like that, and that's preposterous, but it's possible. Anyway, if Dirk Cutter loses on Sunday, if this team loses on Sunday, you'll hear me open up this podcast next Sunday talking about it is time to look for a new head coach. It's time for Team Glazer to go into overdrive, into regime change, at least for the head coach and the staff next year. That's just where I will be, because that would mean Cutter started his first year 3-5. He started his next year 2-6, started his next year 3-5. That would be his halfway point for 3 years in a row. That means the guy can't get his team going early in the season, and you got to be able to do that. That's not a coincidence. I've said this before. It just can't happen. It's a sign of bad coaching. It's not just bad luck. It's bad coaching. My team wasn't ready to get the most out of them in the first half of the season to set us up for a run. And he didn't do it. So I hope he does it. I hope they get to 4-4. I hope this thing gets exciting again. Because sure, if they get to 4-4, can they beat Washington at home? Sure, they'd be capable of that. No problem. Next up, the Niners, who stink. The Giants, competitive but not very good. Things could get interesting, at least much more fun. Got to win this week. I don't think they will. But if they can't find a way to do it, I'm sorry, Dirk. We can roll the dice with somebody else and hope that they can get us to 4-4 3 years in a row instead of 3-5, 2-6, and 3-5. You know, enough already. It's not a coincidence. Man, tough day. tough day for me. I got to admit, you know, love the Bucks. We love the Bucks over here at Joe Bucks Fan, myself, Lee DeCamper. We even got Ira admitting now that he's a Bucks fan. It's tough. I feel for all of you out there. I really, really do. And in the game itself, I mean, the team offensively is just oozing with talent. And I love there's plenty of offensive line haters out there. Everybody's got their favorite to hate, right? There's the Caleb Benenach crowd who can't stand him and don't get what's going on. There's the people who think Dotson's washed up. Donovan Smith, he's a punching bag for so many. Yet somehow, some way, this is the line that's blocking for the number one offense in the NFL when it comes to yards on the ground. Overall yardage, number one per game. That's the Buccaneers, not the Chiefs, not anybody else. It's the Bucs. So don't tell me the O-line is incompetent because it's just not true. Don't tell me the O-line isn't good enough because this offense is good enough to win a hell of a lot of games. You're not going to have all pros at all positions. I'm really sick and tired of the O-line hate. What more do they have to do? Who's running the football behind them? I like Peyton Barber. He's up to 3.7 yards a carry. He's a good running back. He's shown at 24 years old with a shot that he's a legit number one running back. He's not in the upper tier. He may not be in the middle tier, but he might be straddling the middle tier in the bottom third. You know, is he the 20th best running back in the NFL? Maybe. And I'm not going to fault the guy for being an undrafted free agent running his ass off who is the 20th best running back in the NFL. It's on the Bucs to get more talent. Ronald Jones, you know, he's hurt now. He looks soft. He's not running. He doesn't run anywhere near as physical as Barber. But I'm not going to be knocking the offensive line. It's silly. It's as if, as so many fans are just not used to a team moving the ball like the Bucs do, and it's too easy to cast blame. I've questioned the effort of guys on the offensive line, and I think that's fair. But the performance of the unit as a group, they came out running the ball the other day. They have run the ball in various ways and times. It's been inconsistent. Whatever. They obviously pass block extremely well. And they did look a little more motivated and refreshed with Fitz in there. What that really means or why, I don't know. It's a 14-minute snapshot. But hopefully it'll continue. Hopefully it'll continue. The defense, I mean, what we're looking at is a unit that is just severely undermanned, serious talent issues on the defense, and, you know, they're playing better under Duffner. I think it's more sound, but there's nothing. And now Vita Vea is hurt and with a knee injury. You can read that on joebucksfan.com if you missed it. But I look at Vea lining up, and I see a guy who, if you stop the tape or look at the film, however you want to do it, Vea lines up behind the other defensive lineman, like he's a third of a step behind them. He's not up on the offensive lineman as quickly or as close to the O-line as the guys alongside him. And his get-off isn't very good. And I really don't understand, and I'll try to get an answer this week, why he doesn't line up right up on the offensive lineman. But hasn't looked good, and now he's hurt. I mean, he got off to a good start, I thought. Thought his strength showed up, that he had the hustle, and he would get better, but he hasn't gotten better. Small sample size, I get it. He's still getting into game shape, but it was not encouraging before he got hurt, and now it's going to be a while till we know what's really going on with him or till he can get back to 100%, and it's frustrating from the number 12 overall pick, Ronald Jones, hamstring, and the cornerbacks, Carlton Davis. He's got that length that they talk about. He's got, he looks okay. He looks like he's going to make it, but he's got a long way to go. He's not Marcus Lattimore. And MJ Stewart just looks slow. He's always looked slow, and now he's hurt. So it's just not pretty for the Bucs. Alex Kappa can't get on the field, and Jason Light's draft class is rounded out by Jordan Whitehead, who for some reason can't start Not sure I agree with that, but he can't start over Isaiah Johnson, who's the safety who ran into a wall covering Antonio Brown because he didn't know where he is, and he's not very good. It's not pretty. Darius Taylor, he's trying, but he's not Quan Alexander. And Devontae Bond, he's forced into starting action here. It's just not pretty. The pass rush, two hits of Andy Dalton. Two hits, that's not acceptable. Both of them were sacks by Jason Pierre-Paul, but five hits is a bad day. So two is just, it's just the Bucs and their defensive line. There's just not enough juice there. They tried to fix it. It hasn't worked, mostly because of injuries. And fingers crossed that Gerald McCoy comes back, because they really need to get back to stuffing the run. And they haven't done that consistently with him out of the lineup. That was the strength of this defense. It's not a strength. And there's a great chance. Quan is obviously part of that, but there's a great chance that McCoy is the biggest reason why. And now they're really going to need him to find a way back this week without Vita Vea in the lineup. The podcast can be found iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Those are great places to subscribe, which means you get a free alert when it posts. Or, of course, you can listen right on JoeBucksFan.com. Our family of podcasts, don't forget them. Bucks Uncensored. Justin was under the weather today, but he will be back. He's twice a week. Ira Kaufman podcast, of course. Thursday, you've got the Free Stretch with Bobby Fenton, presented by Bill Curry Ford. And then Friday, Joe Bolts Fan with Tom Lang. Yes, a Lightning podcast that is very popular. Lightning are kicking butt, and it's a great podcast. Also presented by Bill Curry Ford. We thank Bill Curry for their tremendous support. And they're right there, BillCurryFord.com. You can shop online right now. That's the way to shop for a car or a truck. Of course, Ford, Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. And if you missed it, head back to the beginning, that watch party for Johns Hopkins, benefiting them right at One Buck Place on Sunday for the Panthers game. Great watch party. You really want to go out there. Family friendly, food, the whole thing. You got to get a ticket. Go to BillCurryFord.com for information. Now, one thing I wanted to mention about Dirk Koetter and the evaluation of Koetter, the theme. Who remembers the theme? Raise your hand of this season. Who remembers the theme? Koetter's big message. They wear the shirts all the time, blah, blah, blah. Discipline driven. That was the Bucs. Dirk Koetter thought all offseason and decided, I want a discipline-driven team. That is our message. That is our theme. That is who we're going to be. Discipline, discipline, discipline. We're going to look like a discipline-driven team. Do the Bucks look discipline-driven to you? Do they? They sure don't look discipline-driven to me. Not a lot of discipline from Jameis Winston. Not a lot of discipline in all these stupid penalties that the Bucks keep coming up with. Not a lot of discipline from the defense, otherwise Mike Smith wouldn't have been fired. You might be able to even say that there's not a lot of discipline in that coaching staff based on the way the players have been undisciplined. And again, those penalties hurt on Sunday. The Bucks' total penalties on Sunday, 11 for 75 yards, 11 penalties. Dirk Koetter's goal for every game is a maximum of 6. That's the goal from the Bucs. That's the stated goal. 11 penalties for 75 crushing yards. The Bucs held time of possession against the Bengals for 35 minutes. So think about that. That's a lot of time. And, you know, I think in general you probably would prefer to have most of your penalties, if they're going to come, be on defense. Guys being aggressive. The kinds of penalties that result from hits. From mistiming something. Those kinds of things. Offensive penalties, way too many offensive line penalties. You see it. I don't need to explain. It's bad. And that speaks poorly on the coach. I want a disciplined team. He didn't get it. Why not? Why not, Dirk? You know, it's not all on the coach. Obviously, the players have to play, but it's inexcusable. Cincinnati is not exactly a loud stadium. you saw all the empty seats on television. It's not known for its volume. It's not a place where you have to go to silent count like that, like you do in other places. It should have been much more smooth, and it wasn't. And penalty hurt him late. Pushed that game-winning field goal 5 yards closer. That's a big confidence boost on a cold, windy day like that for a kicker. Stupid penalty on the defense, and Bucks lose 37-34 after one hell of a run by the offense. A lot of things that are not good with this team. A lot of things that are not good. But we still have to sit here and say 3-4. This is the crossroads for me personally. This is it. The Browns was it, and now we're back again because that's the NFL. This is it. I'm done with the coaching staff if they lose to Carolina. And I don't really care what the game looks like. You have to win. Last year, Dirk Cutter told us, man, one-score games, haven't been in so many one-score games. If we can just flip that record in the one-score games, we're fighting, we're battling, one-score games, that lets me know we're close. Well, this year the Bucs are 3-3 in one-score games. Suppose they lose a one-score game in Carolina. Then what? They're 3-4. I never bought into any of that theory. I think it's a joke. The NFL is different every year. And what does that get you? If I'm on a basketball team that loses by 5 points every night, who the hell cares? We're losers. I've been on those teams in a variety of sports. Some teams know how to win. Some know how to lose. The Bucks know how to lose. Dirk Cutter knows how to lose. And Jameis Winston has been on a lot of losses. And there's a lot of just a losing culture with the Bucks. And that's how Dirk Cutter started this regime, right? He wanted to build a winning culture, culture change. He came in. He said that, you know, I've been around teams that have that it factor of winning, and this team doesn't have it. And then they found a way to turn it around, but it's kind of too late now for the level of turnaround they had in 2016, which was defense-driven. They got to find a way to do this immediately through the offense, and it's a high road to try to climb. But, hey, when that whistle blows on Sunday, I will be cheering with the rest of you because I want to see a Bucks win, even though I'm sure there are some of you out there who are already playing for the draft. Screw that. We got time for that. Hey, I appreciate you listening. Emotional day for me because this is a fan thing for me. This is not a job or an adventure. I'm here for because I'm a fan. It's great to be able to make a living doing it, but that's why I'm here. And hang in there, Bucks fans. Hang in there. Maybe we'll have an exciting trade to talk about. We can only hope. Some injection of life. Clearly, the Bucks are going all in by playing Ryan Fitzpatrick on Sunday. Maybe they have a couple of all-in moves on the defense to try to spark some things and make something happen. I got my fingers crossed that McCoy comes back and good things go from there. All right. Hey, appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Monday Morning Joe, I'm out of here. And of course, I forgot before, Todd Wright, Fantasy Football Podcast pops 3 times a week. That's always a must listen on JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks, guys.